It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, Chicago. Hey, it's me, Frank Fontana. Thanks for joining us on this lovely Sunday afternoon. And by lovely, I mean it's kind of nice out. Wouldn't you say, Dave Miranda? Welcome back.
I think it is amazing. I was in Orlando last week. I feel like I'm in Orlando if I'm looking out this window right here.
Was it? Yeah, looking out the window.
Yeah.
Certainly not hitting the 70s yet. Although I am excited by the 10-day forecast. Because by the, it says on my iPhone at least, you know, the iPhone doesn't lie.
Oh, no. It technology said, doesn't, yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're looking like we're hitting 60s?
Yes.
Oh.
Short weather. For shorts, not short weather. Oh. Weather for shorts.
I'm not gonna lie; that I'm not too mad at this winter. Not too mad at it.
No, not too much snow. Not too much. We've been spoiled, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's not to say that it couldn't come and bite us in the arse, you know, one more time, or two more times, which it could. But I'm liking the upward trend in the temperature.
Oh, yes. And you know what? It's easier for contractors to start their jobs earlier.
Yeah, it definitely is a boom for the industry and where Dave is going with this. As part of today's show, as you know, we always talk about all things home, whether it's the issues with the home itself or the issues under the roof when the families themselves. Today is more about the nuts and bolts of the home. And we have the folks from NARI Chicago joining us. They just had this big award deal that happened. And we got the Remodeling Excellence Awards honor the best in the Chicagoland. They recognize members for various interior and exterior remodeling programs throughout the year. They submit their renderings and drawings and work. And boom, they get selected by this prestigious panel. And, you know, it's an honor to be a part of the organization. I was just talking to the folks back there, and they're good people, man. They're my peoples.
Yeah, we could get some information. Maybe people are planning to tie the knot this Valentine's Day, or maybe you want to get that nest ready for the future.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is picking up, though. I mean, even in our business, our Fontana Design and Development, we do a lot of design / rental work, and it's been picking up, man. And I think it's a tribute to the weather. I think people do want to get all snug and cozy, you know, before the spring hits. And maybe Valentine is a good excuse to buy your love the dream home. She's not literally buy, but remodel the dream home.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one couple I'm working with actually says, "You're giving us hope to fall back in love with our home."
Oh,
isn't that
see,
sweet?
That's what it's because you know what? Everything around you changes your mood. Everything
it
in
does.
Your home,
your environment impacts your life completely. I'm actually writing about that in my new book, Dave.
Writing at 4 a.m. I don't know. How do you do it?
How do I do it? Speaking of 4 a.m., I didn't sleep at all last night. It wasn't because I was writing my book. It was because my son was up all night. Poor little guy, Luca. He had he's
cold?
Got I don't know
cough?
What he's got. It's like this croupy cough, but he needs his tonsils out. They're like 95% closed.
Ouch!
Yeah, like literally, he has like a pinhole that he could breathe at. It's terrible, but we have a scheduled surgery coming up in the next couple weeks. So we got a dose of what it's going to be like the week after the surgery. Because he was literally up all night. So if I'm a little loopy and I say weird things, please forgive me. I have not slept in 48 hours.
Oh, we'll forgive you. We definitely will.
You might have to jump in here, Dave. If you hear me just going,
uh-oh.
That means jump in. Right?
Okay, I sure will. No problem. I got your back.
All right. So Mimi Altman's joining us, as well as a bunch of the folks from the NARI Awards Program. Russell Head, principal at Live Companies. We have a couple of homeowners joining us via telephone, correct?
Yes, we do. And also we have Normandy Remodeling.
Normandy, big name in the remodeling industry, especially out in my neck of woods, out in LaGrange area. Great, great organization. We have, lots of other folks that are going to be joining us regarding that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then around 2:17, we're talking to the folks at Lifesavers, not the candy, but the bottle. There's this bottle that if you like to voyage out in the trails and go with your lovey on a little Valentine's walk, and water, you know, is a necessity. And exactly this product is kind of what is like a self-contained filtration system. So if you had to like take water off the fat of the land, out of the river, and you don't know if there's parasites, whatever, this bottle actually purifies, right?
You'll be safe, at least to
You'll
drink.
You'll be safe to drink it, yeah. So we're going to say find out how that all works. And then speaking of Valentine's, this is kind of our quasi-Valentine special, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
of
how
course
we're
it is.
Guy?
Yeah, you gotta. And if not, it's for friendship. It's for roommates. It's for, consider it whatever you
partnerships.
There you go.
Yeah, whatever your thing is, just partnerships. We have some top Valentine's Day wine picks, and these are a little different. These are for breakfast wines, and they're organic and vegan wines as well, which is kind of my alley because I'm doing mostly vegan these days. Actually, I'm all vegan these days.
You probably have a lot of questions for them, and yeah, you're right. It's going to be the breakfast wine to close off the show.
Yeah, because then we're talking February is Hot Breakfast Month. We have some ideas to keep you warm and your breakfast warm. So this Hot Breakfast Month is about the importance of breakfast and making part of your daily routine.
You have to, even if you want to lose weight, you know, trainers tell you, you have to have breakfast. People that have started eating breakfast have lost weight easier.
Yeah. I don't know. I have some conflicting research on that one.
Well, it depends what you eat. Well, you know, you're going to eat breads and
carbs.
Exactly.
If you're having croissants and bagels and all that kind of stuff, I don't think that'll help your weight loss program. But I do think breakfast in general, like I've been switching a little bit away from the hot. I've been going to this place up in town called Owl and Lark, and they make the salmon toast, it's called, but I get it without the toast. So it's like smoked salmon sliced over some like a nice green salad with some avocados.
For breakfast?
Dude, you live in that neck of the woods. You got to try it. It's fantastic. For breakfast. So, yeah, I know it sounds weird having salmon, smoked salmon for breakfast, but think about it. You have smoked salmon on lox and bagels, right? Just remove the lox. Keep the lox, get rid of the bagels. You're in business. It's a healthier version of that.
Got to try it. So it's hot breakfast month. So those of you that enjoy breakfast in the morning, or if you just want to feel hot with your honey bunny this Valentine's Day, well, might as well make something together.
Honey bunny.
Honey bunny.
Where'd you get that?
Significant other.
Yes. Partner. Let me ask you, you were at the auto show, right? You were covering it for Telemundo, was it?
Yeah, actually the special is on today at 4:30 and 10:30. It's the auto show special. NBC and Telemundo will be airing it. It's the latest tools and technology, the newest toys on the road, and it's 1 million square foot showroom. It's like a kid in a toy store. Even though I'm not about cars, Frank, but when you're in there, something will call your attention. Some new technology in the car. There was one that had a sound system that it's not necessarily like, you know, you're walking down in the hood and it's that type of sound system. It's like more like a karaoke sound system.
A karaoke sound?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like just, you could pull over and just bust out
you
the just karaoke?
Sing.
And
No. You just sing. It's mainly for people that have a family. It was in one of the minivans.
Yeah.
If you have a family. And it's a great way to enjoy a road trip, I would think. Instead
but that
of
takes that whole, like, you know, singing in the backseat thing to a whole nother level. Like, you know, 99 bottles of beer on a wall, and all of a sudden they're breaking out Lady Gaga doing a little karaoke. That could be fun.
Yeah. Or like the wheels on the bus go round and round.
Yeah, that'd be my speed with my kids, two and five. That's more like it. Although my son's really into, like, Bruno Mars, and, you know, for a five-year-old, he's got a pretty astute music library, I would say. He likes Shawn Mendes.
Does he get it off of you guys?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, okay.
But unfortunately, I was listening to Macklemore the other day. I don't know who Macklemore is.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a song that had a little bit of a foul word in it.
Oh.
And now he's got that stuck in his head. He sings that one particular lyric in that song. And
pronounces
and
that.
And he likes to pronounce that one. So I can't blame him because I accidentally exposed him to it. But
is it the Downtown song?
No, it's Thrift Shop.
Oh, okay.
There's a line in there that he uses a particular word that begins with F.
Yeah.
But it's hard. You know, you got to teach kids.
Even though we're on Valentine's Day, it can't be appropriate.
It could. Yeah, you just had to do it, right? I mentioned Macklemore, so there you go. Downtown, baby.
Yeah, this one doesn't have the swear words, so
No. This reminds me of our TV show, Downtown Shabby, on A&E Network, that we just finished wrapping a couple of months ago. You can still catch it online and reruns here and there. Don't know exactly when, but they air all the time. I get calls, be like, hey, I just saw your show this week. This isn't the one with the curse words, though, right?
No, not at all. You know what? You're right about that, because when I'm booking guests for the show, they do talk. They say, hey, he just finished his series in Downtown Shabby with his wife, and they're such an adorable couple.
Oh, thanks.
I always tell them, don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled. Those mother, yeah, right. No, but, you know, the show is all about remodeling older homes, and how appropriate that we are talking about remodeling right now. Joining me in studio is Mimi Altman, Executive Director of NARI, of Greater Chicagoland, based in Des Plaines. Mimi, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I love the color of your blouse there.
It's Thank fantastic. You. It's one of my favorites,
yeah,
I will
yeah,
say.
Looks good with you.
Thank you.
For the folks who don't know what NARI is, why don't you go ahead and explain it?
Okay, NARI is the National Association of the Remodeling Industry. I'm with the Greater Chicagoland Chapter. We're an organization of remodeling contractors, suppliers, service providers, that sort of thing. And our goal is to provide the consumers with reliable contractors, as well as educate our members to make them better as well.
So is it more for the homeowner or is it more for the contracting expert himself?
The association itself is more for the remodeler because we provide industry education, things like that. But we do have a website full of all sorts of consumer information on how to select a contractor and some of those questions that they may have while they're doing a project or before they even start.
Yeah. So what's your opinion on the, hey, my cousin Joey knows a guy. And he's a good carpenter. What do you suggest people follow that rule of recommendation, or like what's your vetting process?
Well, in terms of a homeowner selecting a contractor, everybody has a guy for just about everything, I
yes.
think. And that guy may be great, and that guy may not be so great.
Right.
So I think looking into it a little farther is what's important. On our website, we actually have some resources on questions to ask contractors when they give you references, questions to ask those references. So, yeah, the guy may be great, but just dive a little deeper and see what they're really all about.
Certainly, certainly. So, and with your organization, you guys hold this award. Is it every year?
Yes, every year in January we give out the awards.
And tell us about what it, you know. How do you qualify, and how did you guys pick your winners this year?
Okay, we've been doing this now for over 10 years. They're called the Remodeling Excellence Awards. In order to enter, you do have to be a member of our chapter, and then you submit a presentation in a PDF form with an explanation of the project, what was happening, why the homeowner wanted you to come in, were there problems that needed to be solved. And then we submit them to a bunch of judges who are industry experts. It's all anonymous, so nobody knows who the companies are. And
what about the judges? How do you pick your judges?
They're industry experts.
Okay.
Have a kind of a cache of other NARI chapters do it. Sometimes we have local people do it as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'd like to judge one of these one day. I want to be like Simon Cowell for the As long as you have like a Paul Abdul, I mean, you could probably be my Paul Abdul.
I am up for that.
What are you laughing about? It's true. So then, you, how many people submitted this year?
We had 16 submissions, and we gave away 14 awards. And they do have to meet minimum. They compete against each other as well as against a minimum score that they have to, which is 85% of the points.
Wow. Yeah. Pretty intense guidelines there.
The projects are amazing, and while it's a stringent grading scale, it's really hard. The projects are so amazing from each company that it's really hard to judge between.
Are they based on like budget? Are they based on room? Are they like what are the? Tell me about the criteria in that regard.
Both. We do have separate categories for kitchen, bathroom, basement, addition, that sort of thing. And then it is broken down kitchen 0 to 30,000, 30 to 60, et cetera. And all of them are broken down in that way.
Yeah, $30,000 kitchen, huh?
We didn't have any of those this year.
You didn't have any of it. I was going to say, it's really hard to design a kitchen these days for $30,000. But, you know, it's doable.
It is.
It totally is, depending on the size and scale of the home, the type of cabinetry you pick.
Exactly.
Countertops, all that stuff. So you brought some of the winners here in studio, some names you'd probably know and heard of before, like Normandy Remodeling. You've heard of Live Companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we have both Russell and Dave, both from Live, correct? All right, so we're going to turn on some microphones here, and then we have Liz. I'm going to screw up your last name, Liz, so why don't you just say it?
Reifschneider.
Reifschneider. See, that was easy. I would have got that. No-brainer on that one. And you guys all participated this year and walked away with some pretty big prizes. Let's start with talking to Liz from Normandy Remodeling. Big name, Normandy Remodeling. How long have you guys been in business?
Over 35 years.
How did you get into the business?
It was started by a few gentlemen who wanted to start a remodeling company, and they basically did additions mainly back in the day, and then started getting more and more into interior remodeling.
And this is in the southwest suburbs?
Hinsdale
area.
Yeah.
That's where you guys focus most of your business?
No, we're all over. So anywhere from North Shore to Naperville to Orland Park, you know, things down there. So
you guys are right by the Whole Foods on Ogden.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
I often drive by there as I go to Whole Foods.
Every day for lunch, yeah.
Yes, every day for lunch. You're like, a good healthy food.
Right.
You know? Organic wines, which we'll be talking about later, too. And what do you do for the company?
I'm an interior designer, kitchen and baths.
So. Hey, what's up? Part of the same world.
Yeah.
Do you love what you do?
I do. Yeah. It's great. I love to see the transformations in people's homes and really take a space that doesn't work for them and rearrange it. And it's great to change their lives.
What space did you dive into and what did you submit for the NARI Awards?
It was a kitchen. And it was kind of the classic example of I want an island in my kitchen. So in order to achieve that, we had to do like a 4-foot bump out. So we did a kitchen addition. And it was a really great project. We've got a lot of cool stuff in it. Got some nice barn doors that kind of slide across a pantry.
Sweet.
Huge hood and lots of built-in refrigeration because it was a family of five. So
what was the budget?
That was about $150.
That's a good budget for a kitchen. Yeah, I mean, well, it's a kitchen and an addition,
right?
Too. Yeah. So the addition, you know, percentage of cost on that for the addition was probably what, like $50,000, just going
about their
ballpark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the whole thing. And do you have to talk the homeowner into that addition, or is it because everyone wants like, oh, can't you just squeeze the island in here?
Yeah. No, they kind of knew they needed an addition, but we went through a lot of different renditions because do we go out 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet, and the cost difference is really incremental at that point. You know,
right.
You're already getting a concrete guy out there and, you know.
Do you have to pour new foundations for that one or footers? And...
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. So, and you guys ended up winning and you were against how many other competitors or?
In this category?
I think there were three in that category.
Three. Nice. Yeah. Well, congratulations. Thanks. That's awesome. Where can people see what we're talking about online?
Yes, they can. NARIChicago.org. That's NARI. And if you go under news and events, you'll see the remodeling awards tab, and they're listed there with pictures.
Awesome. We do have to take a quick break. We're going to be talking to Russell and Dave as soon as we come back from the news. We're talking with Mimi Altman, Executive Director of NARI of Greater Chicagoland, and we're revealing the winners of this year's awards. How you doing, folks out there? We love you. Two cute boys, too. You got a little chocolate on your face there, son. You want to wipe that off.
You think they're Blackhawks fans?
I think they're Blackhawks fans. They're sporting the Blackhawks gear. And I bet they went to Dylan's, too, didn't you? Right next door. Got some chocolate. Anyway, let's focus on what's going on inside the studio, Dave. All right.
By the way, it's very windy out there. The National Weather Service alerted that we're going to have strong gusty winds until 5 p.m.
Whoa.
So
breaking news.
Yeah, don't comb your hair today.
Hold your hats. Right? All right, we're talking to Mimi Altman, Executive Director of NARI. Or am I saying it right? NARI?
It's NARI, technically.
Technically?
Yes.
But if I'm from New York and we say NARI. Is that okay?
That's fine.
I'll say it the way you say it. I'll be nice. NARI, right?
Thank you. NARI.
NARI.
Like Mary.
Like Mary. NARI of Greater Chicagoland, based in Des Plaines, NARIChicago.org. And we're talking to some of the winners of the NARI Awards that just happened recently. And we just spoke to Liz from Normandy Remodeling. Congrats on winning the kitchen project. Sounds pretty amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now let's change focus a little bit to the folks from Live Companies. Am I saying that correct?
Yes, you are.
All right. Russell Head and David Pollard. Gentlemen, thank you so much and congratulations.
Thanks for having us, Frank. We appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
Let's talk remodeling. What did you guys win for?
We actually won four projects, which we were pretty excited about. A pretty big range of projects. One was a less expensive basement renovation all the way up to a more expensive addition, and then kind of a mid-range addition. So we really ran the whole gamut of a range of different project scales and budgets.
That's great. And what is your personal... You guys have personal preferences, and like, do you like doing basements versus, you know, family rooms, or you just do it all?
No, we definitely do it all. For us, design is design, so it's not about necessarily designing and building the most sophisticated and fancy project. It's all about finding a creative solution for people's lives and for their needs. So, you know, basements are just as exciting for us.
Yeah, and they're becoming more and more popular. I'm saying, you know, people like, you know, I live in a 100-year-old home, 120-year-old home, and the function of the basement back then isn't what it is today, and they weren't set up. You know, I still have an old telephone pole holding up my house. You see those often? I mean, especially in the Hinsdale-LaGrange area. You don't see that often, Liz.
No.
Really? Come to my house. And it's awesome. It's splintering. It's great. It's part of the history of the home. They use these just old, like, you know, have you seen this much?
Sure. All the time.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to eventually get some modernized foundation in there and figure it out. Because, like, I see this often in LaGrange. I mean, we do a lot of homes in and around LaGrange, too. We call it the LaGrange tilt. You notice that? Like, the left half of the house is sinking and the right half is staying where it is. And
it's character.
Sure. It's character. Yeah, we call character. That character. That's what the real estate agents call it, character. Right. Tons of character. Just don't walk too much on the left side. You know,
people love squeaky floors.
Squeaky floors, right. I mean, but what's amazing is in the markets like Hinsdale, LaGrange, where you have these older, you know, Victorian homes, people, you can't keep them on the market. They'll pay top dollar for these old homes, and the inventory just can't stay solid. It's just moving and moving and moving. But it keeps people like you guys in great business. And you guys are based in Burr Ridge?
Yes, our office is in Burr Ridge. The bulk of our work is kind of that I-55 corridor.
Mm-hmm.
LaGrange, we've done several projects in LaGrange. Riverside's a big one right now for us. Although we do bounce out of that area, we just finished a large project in Geneva.
Oh, nice.
That worked out well, and we even have a project down here in the city going right now.
So how big and small projects do you take on? Like, what would be your low-end budget that you'd want to take on versus the max?
The smaller side is probably in the $20,000 to $30,000 range. That's pretty rare, but if something's in our wheelhouse and we feel we can provide the right design and solutions to how our customers want to live, we'll do that on the higher end. You know, the project we're doing in the city here is up in the seven figures. So.
Are you able to talk a little bit about it?
Sure.
Tell us about it.
We're doing a full gut rehab of a water tower place residence.
Right here up the street?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
And it's the first time that unit's been remodeled. They're an original owner of the unit, and they've finally gotten along to bringing it up to the the current time frame. So,
what are the challenges in working? I mean, it seems like it might be a little easier working out in the suburbs versus working in the heart of downtown Chicago.
I would say that's correct. It's also a lot more productive out in the suburbs than it is here.
Yeah.
We can't even get into the building until after 8 o'clock, and then usually there's a line of trades waiting to get into the one elevator that we can use. So, it's a challenge, but it's certainly something that is overcomable, and we're pretty excited about the project, and I think it's going to turn out great.
That's great. What's the style? What's the look of it all?
I'll let Dave chime in on that. Dave is the designer and architect.
Yeah, it was kind of the original plan is kind of interesting in that it was four bedrooms and full baths, but you could only access the bathrooms from each of the bedrooms, which didn't really make sense if you had company. So you had a large footprint of 4,000 square feet, but the kitchen was really small, and then rooms were kind of too far away from each other. So, you know, just like most of our projects that we're doing nowadays, the big concept is to open everything up, to make it a much more social space so that people can interact a little bit better. We extended the kitchen dramatically. Instead of just being in a back corner, it's now really more extends into the living space. The overall aesthetic is certainly a much more modern feel than what was there originally. But also, we didn't want it to be cold. It's more comfortable with a lot of walnut, some lighter colored oak flooring. So it's not necessarily a cold modern space. It feels comfortable.
A little bit of organic elements mixed into it.
Yeah, some rich wood tones. Nothing too shiny. Just it should be a really comfortable space with some amazing views.
Let's talk about your process from a design perspective across the board here. What are the first couple questions you ask a client, especially in like an environment like a downtown? I've designed several downtown Chicago lofts and condos, and it just seems it's a different kind of beast. You know, you're dealing with a client's probably a little more sophisticated, wants a little bit different of elements than you would in a south suburban home. What are some of the procedures you use when engaging a client like that?
Well, no matter what, we have a questionnaire that we start with. And the big questions on the questionnaire aren't necessarily about a design aesthetic. It's more about how you live. We really want to understand, do you like to go out to fancy restaurants for dinner, or do you like to barbecue in the backyard? So we really want to start more organically about how they really operate before we necessarily assign a specific aesthetic to it. And that kind of speaks to the question about the smaller projects. Pretty much every client we meet with, we're developing a master plan for what their house could be, and then we break it into phases. So someone wouldn't necessarily call us just to remodel a bathroom, but we could talk to them about all the pieces and parts and how that connects, so that at the end of the day, the house that they want to raise their family in or grow old in could eventually achieve everything that they wanted to do.
Liz, you guys follow a similar protocol in
yeah.
terms of...
It's about what are your needs. You know, yeah. what do you need? How is the space not working for you? What do you need it to do? And then we kind of develop what are the priorities, and then it kind of evolves from there. So the aesthetic comes last, really.
Right.
Kind of once we figured out the layout, then we kind of get into materials afterwards.
And how important is that the B word in these equations here? Right.
Very important.
Right.
That's a big question in the question.
B word, I mean the budget. Yes.
And I think what's important about that is that historically people have been comfortable talking to an architect about a budget.
Yeah.
But not necessarily to a contractor. But it's
why
it's
is it? Let's talk about that for a second, because then that brings up the whole idea of why. What, you know, Ross, you're like, you know, the contracting side of things, correct?
Yes.
All right. So do you take offense to that?
I don't take offense to it, but certain people come into the process worried they're going to get ripped off. So everything is going to be a competition down the road, as opposed to developing the design and the budget in tandem with each other. They're more worried about coming up with the design, and then they're going to take it out to five different people.
Yeah.
And at that point, figure out who the cheapest guy is. And
yeah.
we don't really work that way. You know, our projects tend to be design build, where we're working with the people from the very beginning. The design is working with the budget as it happens, and that's an ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
I did a lot of commercial construction as well, and what I used to always call the triangle of distrust, which was the client, the contractor, and the architect, and they're all working really hard to point at one of the other two people to blame for something.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's so true.
And what happens on the commercial side or the residential side, if someone hires an architect, they'll spend a year going through and developing exactly what they want.
And tons of money.
Tons of money. Then they go out and bid it, and inevitably it's 30% more than they wanted to spend.
Of course.
Now they're in a position where either they have to settle for something less than they want or come up with 30% more than they wanted to spend. And either way, they're going to be disappointed. So we try to walk that walk together so that we're not developing something that's more expensive, and everyone ends up hopefully happy in the end.
Yeah,
sure.
That's the beauty of design build. You're pricing it as you're designing it. So.
Right. And then there's always a variable, though, right? I mean, there's always stuff that could happen.
Oh,
there's
sure.
things that come up.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Contingencies. You know, some contracts have contingency budgets. But have you ever been in a position where, you know, like you set a budget, but you realize, you know, down the road things might change a little bit, or things are just coming in way more than we anticipated?
Sure, you know? And we run into that. We've had people, you know, our clients don't, we don't want to unnecessarily limit Dave's design, because he may come up with something that's a great idea. And we've had clients that we developed something that ended up being larger in scope than they originally thought. And then they decide that they really like that concept, and they take those next steps.
Right.
Or, as Dave mentioned, they develop a bigger project, but we break it into segments where, okay, first we're going to do the kitchen. We'll do the master bathroom next year.
Based on your budget, kind of be thing. Realistic about it.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Gonna let this one play out a little bit, Dave. It's a good song.
It's a Honey Bunny song.
This is a little Valentine's song for my wife. Baby, I love you.
What would I do without your smart mouth drawing me?
A little John Legend here on Sunday afternoon on the Frank Fontana Show. John will be joining us in studio. Sure. I mean, no, I'm kidding. John Legend. That would be fun, though. We have better guests than John Legend right now. We have Mimi Altman, executive director of NARI. Greater Chicagoland based organization for the National Association of Remodelers Industry. We have Russell Head joining us from Live Companies, David Pollitt from Live Companies, and Liz Reifschneider. Correct, right? Yeah. Look at that. But it took me the whole show, but I got it. from Normandy Remodeling. You've heard these names, pretty big in the business out here. Design Build is the name of the game. And we left off just talking about budgets and homeowners and relationships. Let's face it, guys. We're not in an easy industry. I mean, it sounds basic. You swing a hammer, you put up walls. But it's all about relationships, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it. How do you build the trust and have the right relationship with your client?
Well, you have to have that right personality blend. You have to be on the same track in terms of, things like that. But it's also, I think, establishing the know-how that you know you're listening to them and you're, giving them what they're looking for.
Yeah.
That's kind of what, to me, establishes the trust with the client.
How about you guys? What a similar notion?
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about design build versus hiring an architect and then handing it off to a contractor, you're inherently working with the people that are going to be building your project early on. So before you spent any major money or torn out any walls, you're building that relationship as opposed to just handing it over.
Yeah, folks, and if you have questions for our panel of experts, 312-981-7200, we're here to talk to you and talk you through some of maybe your renovation questions if you're about to hop into a renovation. As far as pricing, I think this is where people kind of get thrown, because there's three components we're talking about here. There's interior design, there's architecture, and then there's the actual construction process. How do you guys price out? And let's educate people out there who may be getting into this. What should I be being charged for architectural drawings? And obviously they range because of the amount of work that goes into them. Same thing for interior design. What's rule of thumb here? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I've never actually known how much to charge people for architectural.
Good answer, right? Yeah. And that ends the show right now, folks. I'll leave you on that note.
So we don't get paid a whole lot is the truth of architecture for what we do and the amount of time that we put into the work and the design.
But why? Like, why? That would be unacceptable in any other industry. Why is it okay to underpay a trade or an architect like yourself? I mean,
well, I think part of it is our fault because we spend more time designing something than we've allocated.
Right.
Because we just keep going. It can always be better. Now, sometimes it goes faster and you come up with something and it just clicks, but the reality is it works through a lot of cycles.
Right.
And so you're never able to really perfectly time out how long it's going to take you to spend developing a design concept and then take it to construction.
Yeah, it's an evolution that you just can't predict.
Yeah. I mean, from an interior design side, how do you go about billing, for jobs? Or as in Normandy, you're like kind of a conglomerate, right?
So it's a service,
it's
right?
A service,
so
right?
There's a lot that goes into it. From a homeowner's point of view, I think you have to look at, you're putting minimal effort in yourself on having to go out and find materials and find an electrician and find a plumber and whatever. You're not having to do
endless
that.
Phone calls, endless research,
right.
Endless digging. Yeah,
right. So we kind of take care of that all for you, and then we take away the frustration of that too. So there's a value to that as well.
And the way that you guys do package it at Normandy, is it all separate, or is it like, here's your deal? Like, here we're going to take care of the design build for you. Here's your one lump sum price. And
a little bit. I mean, it's broken out with allowances for cabinets and countertops and
tile, of course.
And things like that. But there's also sort of the breakout of, the permitting and the dumpster and cleanup and things like that. But for the most part, it is kind of like, here's your bathroom number, here's your kitchen number, here's your,
Right. And within the interior design fees built into that.
You're right.
And Russell, in terms of the actual construction, there is, from what I've known from, a lot of folks in the industry, there's like a rule of thumb that you charge per square foot. Is that still applicable today?
Well, the problem with pricing things square foot-wise is if I build a new home with a four-car garage versus a two-car garage, the square footage didn't change, but obviously the price is more. Or if I put in a $20,000 refrigerator versus a $2,000 refrigerator, again, the square footage didn't change, but the price changed. So we try to have those conversations early on. Obviously, square footage is a key component of the eventual cost. If I build a 3,000 foot addition versus a 300 foot addition, there's correlation there. But it's overly simple to say this is how much it costs per square foot.
Because you're not putting the same things into every project. So it's so specific, so you really can't look at it that way.
Especially on the finish side of things, a kitchen, you can spend $100,000 just on the cabinets.
Yes.
Or you can spend $5,000 on the cabinets. And that's a function of the design. It's a function of the budget and the space.
Sure.
And,
a lot of variables.
All of those things are different.
All right, let's grab a call. We have Jim calling in. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling the show.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing fantastic, man. What's your question?
I'd like to get someone to come out and take a look at my living room, dining room ceiling. It's a shallow cathedral type, and it's just like paneling.
Are you looking to just
in between?
Are you looking to just for a new material replacement, or is there an issue like water leaks or damage?
Well, both really.
Okay.
There's some water damage from a long time ago, and I have no idea whether it's repairable or whether it would need to be replaced. My guess is it would need to be replaced because I think the paneling itself is just, you know, cheap paneling that's probably 50 years old or more, so I'm sure you couldn't duplicate it.
Where do you live, Jim?
In Westmont, Illinois.
Westmont, okay. How old is the home?
It's a remodel job. It was the original part of it was an old Sears house, and it's had three pieces added on since. So I'd say, 50, 60 years old.
Interesting. Hey, Jim, if you don't mind, if you could turn down the radio in the back just because we're hearing you twice. You know, thanks for listening twice. I like that. I'm sitting across from a group of really qualified people. I think any one of you guys would be okay in going out to check out Jim's, right? You guys want to flip for it? What we could do is Jim, we'll take your information. I'll have Dave, my producer, take your info. We'll have one of the companies here that are all highly qualified, award-winning NARI contractors reach out to you and get somebody out there to take a look at it.
That'd be great.
Thank you, Jim. Have a great Sunday. Thanks for calling the show.
Thank you.
And Frank, we also actually on our website on NARIChicago.org, we have a Find a Pro zip code search, so they can consumers can go on there, put in their zip code and what their project is, and find someone. Or you can contact me at the office if you.
How can people get a hold of you?
My phone number is 847-298-6212, or email info@narichicago.org.
And that's NARIChicago.org. Mimi, Russell, Dave, Liz, thank you all so much.
You're welcome.
This has been fun. We got to have you back on to talk some more shop. I'd love to talk to you about new materials, trends, and what you're seeing in the homes out there, because our listeners always love to hear about that stuff. We also have one of the homeowners that the guys from Live work with, Russell and Dave. Caroline Kelly is joining us. Hey, Caroline, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. If I could just speak, it would be even better. Thanks for calling the show. So you guys, you work with Russ and Dave over here, right?
Correct. They helped us remodel our basement.
Well, tell us all the dirty little secrets. How were they?
They were wonderful. They were great to work with, and they were so helpful. And, you know, they saw possibilities in our basement and kind of what we could, you know, do down there to create some more space in our house.
And tell us about, from the homeowner side of things, working with design build versus just a contractor who's going to, you know, swing his hammer, put up some drywall.
I think they came with some more ideas about how to be creative in the space. Like, we had kind of a tiny area for a laundry, and like how, you know, they created these doors that, you know, slide so it wasn't blocking, you know, the hallway down there. So they just, I think, came with some more creative solutions.
That's great. And did they keep it on budget? This is really important.
I think we might have gone over budget a little bit, because, you know, like when you start looking at flooring and, you know, kind of all that, I think, you know, we made some decisions that put us a little over budget.
And key there is we. It's a collective, collaborative effort when you're working with a design build firm to meet and your needs. And, you know, you never know. You think you have the idea in your head, right, Caroline? And then you're like, oh, my God, I just saw this awesome new floor. Well, how much is that? It's a little bit over my budget. Then it comes down to, are you and can you afford that difference? And when you're in the right hands and you have people who guide and steer you in the right way, and you know, the trust factor is there, obviously. I mean, it seems like you really click with these guys.
Yes, definitely.
And so anything in the process stood out to you that you'd be like, you know, this is why I chose these guys?
You know, I just think the feedback and the communication, because we it's sort of, we had worked with a contract prior to kind of demo the basement, and we had waterproofed it before we kind of went in to finish it. And it was just such a different process, like, you know, working with Dave and Russ, it was more of communication. And, you know, one of the other tasks they did was redo our railing going down to the basement, which prior was kind of this interesting metal and plastic structure. And so they really looked at our house and kind of got the feel of the house and created a banister railing that, you know, really more matched our house.
That's awesome.
And so that was nice that we were able to do that.
And I'm glad you guys had a great experience. These sound like two great guys here, Russell Head and David Pollard from Live Companies, based in Burr Ridge. Thank you for calling, Caroline. Appreciate it.
All right. No problem. Thank you.
You got it. And we're going to keep taking our calls here. Let's talk to Gail, who's been holding for a little while. Hey, Gail, thanks for calling the Frank Fontana Show.
I'm just wondering if I can actually put a hole in the back of my house. I've got a kitchen that faces a beautiful large backyard, but I have a teeny tiny kitchen. And the back wall of the kitchen has a window over the sink. And I would like to probably put in, you know, patio doors or sliding doors, if that's doable, to extend the kitchen.
Well, let's talk quickly. I'm going to ask you some questions. How old is the home?
Oh, it's probably 60 years old.
What style home is it?
It's your typical three-bedroom bi-level.
Three-bedroom bi-level. What town do you live in?
Lombard.
What's your sign? I'm kidding. It's very important.
It's Aries.
I'm an Aries too. Boom. All right. We can do it. We can make it happen. You know what? I think the best thing for this, Gail, is to maybe have one of our expert teams here go out and check out your place. And what we'll do is we'll take your information and we'll have Mimi, who is our director over at NARI, she'll kind of divvy out the information and get a contractor out to you. How does that sound?
That sounds fantastic. I have talked to a couple of guys, and somehow they seem to wander from the front of the house to the back of the house. You know, they seem to be pouring other things into my project, and you know, I really don't want all that.
They're pulling the old mechanic program. Huh? Hey, I bring your car in, change
absolutely.
Your air filter, and next thing you know, you got a new transmission.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you won't get that with NARI, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm looking for a pro. I've got a little bit of money to spend, and I want to spend it wisely.
Don't we all? Well, listen, you're in good hands here. Dave Miranda, my producer, will take your information down. I'll put you on hold, and then I'm sure Mimi will contact you.
I will.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Gail. We appreciate it. All right. Let's talk to Gene. Hey, Gene, how are you? Anyway, does anybody want to be Gene?
Hi, this is Gene.
Oh, hey, Gene's there. She magically descended.
It was silent. I didn't hear you guys.
That's weird. We didn't hear you either. But anyway, it's the magic of radio. Gene, what's your question?
Right. Well, when you're faced with gutting a property and remodeling the inside, so it sounds like design build is the best way to go, or maybe the most streamlined rather than dealing with architects and designers and the whole nine yards. So what are some of the best questions to ask when you're embarking on a project like that?
One of you guys want to take that? I can answer it, but I'd rather my expert panel do it.
Questions to ask the design build company?
Yes, a potential design build. What are the best questions to ask as you're vetting these people?
Yeah, you could ask them.
Aside from references, the obvious.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's important to ask what the process is and understand, you know, what that entails. And meeting with someone in your home is really important, obviously, too. So they can see the space and they can ask you questions also about what your needs are and everything. But
I think beyond the professional, you know, just speaking for myself, I think it's really important to vibe with that person. Mm-hmm. I think you gotta, you know, especially when you're talking design and architecture, I think they have to really clearly see your vision, and you have to hear them interpret your vision in a way that you're really comfortable with. Because, you know, a lot of people can draw, a lot of people can use CAD, a lot of people can use, you know, 3D Max, all these programs, but can they actually capture your vision and not waste your time and money? Because ultimately that's what will happen is they'll be presenting and presenting and presenting, and you'll be like, eh, not quite there, we're getting there. And then all of a sudden you'll be presented with a big bill at the end of it all. So it's really important that you vibe with that person. Russell, you want to add anything to this?
I agree. Matching up personalities is very important. I'm not a designer. Dave is our designer. but that connection between Dave and the clients are, starts off the entire process and will, you know, lead into a successful project.
On our website, we do have a list of questions to ask contractors when you're meeting with them for the first time. And some of that is what's been mentioned. And the last question is do you feel comfortable with this? It goes to the vibe question. But also some other questions is how soon can you get to my project? If you're looking to have something done by a specific date and that contractor is booked out, you may make either delay it or make the decision to adjust to their schedule as well. But please go on our website. We do have a list of questions to ask.
Yeah, Gene, I would say, and I think this is universal for anybody listening who's about to engage, you know, in the bidding process, just because somebody's cheaper doesn't mean they're better. Okay, I hear this nightmare all the time. And everybody wants to save a buck on their makeover and their remodel. The reality is it's usually not the best scenario.
And faster is not better either.
Yes. Time and money. It always comes back to time and money. Thank you so much, Gina. I hope we were able to help out there.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got it. All right. Well, that wraps up our session here. Thanks, Mimi, Russell, Dave, and Liz for joining us. Congratulations on your NARI Award. And Mimi, we'll be in touch soon.
Great. Thank you.
We'll do some fun stuff. Yeah. And once again, the website is NARI Chicago, NARICHicago.org. Oh, it's time to talk about one of my fave products. Dave likes to dig these up. He shows them to me and says, Frank, what do you think about this? I think it'd be kind of cool. And this week, Dave, you presented something that I'm into. I like it.
And you know what? It's for everybody, for children, for the whole family. Everybody can take advantage of this filter.
It's literally a lifesaver, but not what you think. It's a lifesaver water bottle. And joining us on the phone to talk about is Joseph Silva, Senior Vice President over at Lifesaver. Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Just looking at your product here, pretty interesting, man. What made you come up with this idea?
It is. Well, it wasn't actually my invention. A gentleman by the name of Michael Pritchard, who is an expert in Ipswich, England, was looking at an issue that had happened go way back into 2014. There was obviously some tsunamis and floods, but in particular, what caught his attention was the Hurricane Katrina disaster. And looking at how that pushed multiple residents looking for one of the key primary components of survival water, how we might be able to develop something that could turn essentially any type of water into a purified drinking source as opposed to shipping bottles across the country. So that was kind of the invention of the product, and it kind of took off from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a well-built product. I mean, you could feel it's like a sturdy, you know, I don't want to call it a water bottle, but it's I like it, man. It doesn't feel like your usual, you know, tote around.
Absolutely. I mean, the outside looks like an ordinary sports bottle, but on the inside is truly where the technology is. And so it goes beyond a normal, like a typical filtration system that you would see just based on the technology that we built into it.
And you got this microbiological water filter system. I mean, is this something that you went through, like, massive studies to figure out and add this? Because, I mean, it filters out 99.999% of viruses, bacteria, cysts, parasites, better than any drinking water. I mean, that's some pretty great statistics right there.
Absolutely. So I'll take it a step further, and we refer to it as what's called a log six. And without getting into the science of it, if you just take 99 point, the log variations go beyond there. So a log six would be 99.9999% of the bacteria that could be found in water is extracted through this. And simplistically saying it, it's called nanofiltration. And essentially what that does is anything smaller than 15 nanometers or 0.015 microns, you can't push a ping pong ball through a screen door. That's essentially what we've done. We tried to identify the bacteria, the viruses, and the cysts that might be caught in the system. And anything larger than a 15 nanometer size can't get through.
And so if I'm traveling the mountains of Tibet and I have a Lifesaver with me and I'm running out of water and I pull up to a stream and I fill up my my Lifesaver bottle with water out of the stream, I mean, the chances of me getting sick like anybody else would. I'm just using Tibet as a reference. It could be anywhere where you're out in nature and you're a hiker and you have one of these. I mean, chances of getting sick off the water are slim to none, correct?
0.00001%.
That's insane.
Again, what we try and we encourage, I mean, streams are great. This is truly built for the more severe. Just think of when you saw the images of Hurricane Katrina. You look at the dirty, mucky water that was out there. all the contaminants, and I won't go into all of them, but E. coli comes to most people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
It's designed to reduce and eliminate that. So essentially, you can go to any water source. On the inside, I believe we sent you a sample. On the inside, there's a small
sponge. I'm holding it right now, actually. I'm opening it up. So there's this blue, sure. This blue sponge in there.
Yeah. So essentially, we call it the frogs, logs, sticks, and twigs catcher. So as you're scooping up the water, you don't want that going into the bottle itself. It will certainly purify that out, but obviously chunks will slow it down. That sponge was actually designed not just to extract the big, thick materials, but if you found, like, say, a small puddle, you could essentially use that as a sponge and wring it out on the inside of the bottle.
Really?
And utilize that as your water source.
And you could actually drink that water out of the puddle?
Absolutely. And there are several videos. We use some of the most extreme in our videos where you can't even see through the water. It's just filled with moss, algae, debris. You funnel it through the ultrafiltration system and put it into a glass, and the results, no pun intended, are crystal clear.
My niece just walked in the studio. I'm going to give her the Lifesaver bottle. Francesca, you're going to go out there and find a puddle, and you're going to scoop up water, and you're going to drink it. I'm not going to.
We encourage that.
Joseph's encouraging it, okay? She's looking at me like I'm crazy. I mean, do people like often give you that look, like when you tell them, yeah, go ahead, go into that pond with the algae?
All the time. You know, we actually set a booth where we have a fish tank, and we put contaminants, you know, mud, dirt, sticks, horse droppings, everything, stir it up, scoop it up into the bottle, show them what it looks like in the tank, and you'd be surprised. People's curiosity will cause them to take a drink of the water, and 99.9999% of the time, they can't taste the difference, and it's a perfect glass of water, just as if they got it out of a bottle.
Well, and you know what's going on in Detroit, right, for the last few years with their water being
absolutely.
So... I mean, have you reached out to the mayor of Detroit and maybe showed him one of these?
We have. So the design behind our product is basically built for contaminants such as biologicals, viruses, and cysts. There is, if you open up the top portion of the bottle, it's a little bit tough because there's a carbon filter that fits on the inside. Now, lead, what they're dealing with in Detroit or the Michigan territories, is typically the lead-based issues. On the inside of that, we also have an adaption for a carbon filter system that will drop into the top portion of that. You notice a little hole with a little threaded aperture on the top?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Honestly, Joe, I'm looking at where does the water actually go in? Like, once you're pouring it right through the top?
No, so if you twist the bottom base of the bottle itself,
yes,
that will separate out, and you'll see an open cavity where the blue sponge is.
Ah.
The water goes in through there. The inside of that, in that little cavity area that's enclosed, is the nanofiltration.
And how much water does it actually hold?
750 milliliters.
And this is, I get the name now, Lifesaver. I mean, it truly is a Lifesaver.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And the model that we sent you, again, the particular model that we provided you will do 4,000 liters. And again, that's equivalent to roughly 1,056 gallons of water. But we've got different varieties just based on the use, from a bottle, which what you have, you know, for the campers, the hikers, those that do extreme excavation or expeditions. Then we have a cube, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a box with a handle on it. Then we elevate up to a jerry can. And our jerry cans are just, think of a 5-gallon gas can, that size. Those will do 10,000 and 20,000 liters, or essentially 2,600 and 5,300 gallons of water. And then for our humanitarian efforts, we have what's called a C2, and those do 2 million gallons of water. So great for humanitarian relief, for villages, truly different sizes for whatever people's passions are, either humanitarian or outdoor, all the way down to preppers.
Well, I would imagine also military, right? I mean, is this used in the military capacity?
Absolutely. So the story behind the product itself was more designed towards humanitarian efforts. Towards the last 2 to 3 years, strong efforts have been to launch this into the military segments, just based on, and I'm a former drill instructor of the military for 21 years. So I've packed a lot of quarts and canteens around my hips. We have introduced this. The British Armed Forces are using this.
Wow.
But because it was developed in the UK, it has primarily been European markets, UK and humanitarian. I left a company of 20 years to join this team for North America. So my sole goal and efforts are to do exactly that. And we have been working with military entities. We're getting close on a few of these. It truly allows for a portable water source without you having to carry around tons of water. You just need to know where that water source is.
No matter where you are. Joe, this is an amazing product, man. It sounds basic in nature, but really solves a lot of issues. Joseph Silva, Senior Vice President over at Lifesaver, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm looking forward to...
Thanks for your time.
No problem. Looking forward to venturing out and giving this a shot in the Chicago River, actually.
Excellent.
Spinning those smooth sounds is DJ David Miranda on our Valentine's special.
I think it took me a year to finally graduate to a DJ David Miranda.
Yeah. Not so bad. Not so bad. Hey, it's getting close to Valentine's Day. That means everyone is, making their plans, maybe buying their bottles of wine, because wine is one of the most consumed beverage on Valentine's Day, apparently. Right, Dave? According to some statistic you gave me. And regardless, that's what we're going with here. We're talking to the folks from Wine Cellars LTD. We have Holly, Todd, and Lauren?
Christina.
All right, sorry about that. I don't know if you heard the earlier part of the show. I haven't slept in about 48 hours. Now I'm going to drink some wine, which is a good combination. I won't be driving home, though, just so you know. The folks here are from Wine Cellars LTD, and you guys are importers and distributors here based in the Chicagoland area, right?
Correct. Yep.
Tell us about the business.
We're Chicago-based, family-run. Yale Sager actually started the company in the late 70s, and now it's overseen by Adam and Jordan Sager, his sons. They do run day-to-day operations for us. It's like I said, we focus on family-owned wineries, and that's how we build our brands forward. We're in all 50 states in the U.S., and we're really focused on unique wineries and unique regions that are basically food-driven and value-driven. So it's pretty much for everyday drinker. You'd be able to buy the wine.
And you guys see a big spike in sales around this time of year, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
And you brought in some samples of some of your, breakfast wines? Is that are we going with here? Because, there's no wrong time. What is it?
Brunch wines, maybe?
Brunch wines, yeah. I mean, because there really is no wrong time to drink wine, right?
No, definitely no. So the champagne's great by itself, but the Prosecco, you can do mimosas. I mean, anything you want to split it with is great to have.
So right now I'm drinking what? You guys poured a glass for me.
You are drinking the Besserat... Rosé, the Brut Rosé, and this is a true champagne from Champagne, France, and it's just really one of our go-to Valentine's Day picks because it's pink, it's champagne,
it's
beautiful.
Tasty.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'm interested to try the Prosecco. Do we have an extra glass that we could maybe sport that in? Or Dave, you want to down this real quick, and then we could move on to the next one? Dave is my official downer.
It is Sunday, so it's like
yeah,
being
it is Sunday. It's like being at brunch. Dave, what do you think about that wine as you guzzle that?
Ooh.
Ooh, so his answer to that was, ooh, there you go, folks. And what's the name on that one more time? Because I think that is a great Valentine beverage to even as a gift, right?
Yep, this is the Besserat Brut Rosé Champagne.
Okay, now I'm sipping on the Prosecco, right?
Yep, this is the Tiamo Prosecco.
And why has Prosecco become so popular?
It's a good value price sparkling wine. It's not champagne, so you don't have the price point of that. This is about $15 retail. So, and it's also Tiamo, which means I love you in Italian. So
it's a
perfect Valentine's Day wine.
And it really is.
Nice bubbles. Good citrus.
Smooth. It's got a little citrus hint to it.
Yep.
It has a niche that it's organic. So I think that's a driving factor for a lot of people today.
What does organic mean in the world of wine?
It's produced organic, so no pesticides, no herbicides. The practices are all up to par. They're not putting any chemicals into the wine.
I hear a lot about this, and the term sulfates come in. Mm-hmm. Well, talk to me about sulfates in wine.
They put sulfates in wine to help age a little bit longer. The more sulfites you're adding, the longer it can age for. Sometimes those have side effects for some people. They get heartburn. So the less sulfites you can put on wine, the better it is, and more eco-friendly it is.
Actually. So does organic wines mean they don't have sulfites in them?
Some of them do, yes. There's a small amount you can put into it that qualifies for it not to be organic, but there's small amounts into it.
Interesting. All right, so what other wines do we have here? Let's move into some of the reds, which is kind of where I like to be. I'm a red wine kind of guy.
Yeah. This is the Piazza del Castello. So for all the Romeos out there, this is a great wine because it's a red blend. Basically, with reds, you're looking to have something of a balance. And this is 50% Sangiovese, 40% Cabernet, and 10% Merlot. When it's a red blend, you can really... It's versatile, so chicken, seafood, steak,
this
type of food.
This is fantastic.
Good.
I'm not going to lie, folks. What is the name of that? Piazza del Castello?
Castello, yeah. It's a super Tuscan. So it's the Sangiovese cab blend allows it to be that.
Molto bene. Yeah.
And it's $14 for a bottle, so it's pretty reasonable.
$14, and it looks super fancy and expensive.
Yeah.
Guys, this is a good one. You could win with this one. It'll look like the $100 bottle that you brought over.
Yeah.
Mm.
Can't go wrong.
I like it. Where can people pick this up at?
Actually, Cost Plus World Market. Surprisingly, you can buy the wine there.
Really?
And also, it's a ton of different small retailers around Chicago and all 50 states. You'll be able to find it.
Give me the blend on that again, because I'm hitting notes of all of it, and yes. It's super smooth. Dave, you should try this.
Sangiovese, 40% or 50%, and then 40% Cabernet and 10% Merlot.
You know, it's got the sweetness that's just perfect on that, but it's also, you know, it's mellow enough too, where you're not like overwhelmed by the sweetness.
Yeah, the Sangiovese.
Dave's our alcohol expert.
It's very food friendly and fruity.
Dave attends a lot of parties. I live vicariously through Dave. He's young and he goes to parties all the time, so you can tell. What's your thoughts on that, Dave?
Ooh.
Ooh. See, he went. Wow was before. Ooh. This is ooh.
This is I just need a little bit of cheese and call it a day.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll be talking about some breakfast foods coming up after this. But yeah, this is a great selection. Why is wine synonymous with Valentine's Day? Like, what is the correlation here? Is it just about getting your partner drunk and taking advantage of them? Is that what are we talking about here?
You know, I think it's a great way to celebrate. I think red wine or even sparkling champagne, those occasions you always want to have a great bottle of wine already available. And I think that just, it's kind of a celebration theme, and Valentine's Day is a celebration. So I think.
And okay, so ladies, tell me, are you impressed when a guy sits at a table, opens a bottle of wine, and goes through the sniffing and the protocol, so to speak? And maybe, you know, you could run through the protocol of what would make one who maybe is not a wine connoisseur look a little more sophisticated when he's dabbling with wine.
Thing to just, you know, see if the wine is actually good. That's kind of why you.
So what
actually,
is that? How do I do it? If I don't know and I'm just faking it, what do I do?
So you swirl it around in the glass and just smell it. And just
so I do this.
Yes,
right?
And then kind of put your nose at the top of the glass and just see if it smells good. Usually with that one, you'll get some, like, you know, spice notes, some good like berry notes to it.
Mm.
Then when you take a sip, you just kind of want to see if it tastes like, you know, what you think a Tuscan wine should taste like.
Is there any value in me as a guy saying, oh, this doesn't smell right?
I don't think it's, you know, good or bad. But,
right. But just roll with it, even
yeah,
if it doesn't smell as good.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the taste. I always see, like, what is that whole taste thing about? It's like you swish it. Should you swish it on a date? If I'm on a Valentine's Day right now, should I swish in my mouth?
Yeah, you could. You don't have to. But it's mostly just to see if it tastes good to you. So...
Are you impressed by a guy who does that on a date?
Maybe not impressed.
No, see, well, there's no value in it, really.
I think it's just more important that you're enjoying the wine.
Yeah.
So long if you're enjoying it, that's more impressive than knowing everything about it.
So don't try to be like a sommelier, you know?
Yeah.
Like, right,
okay. I definitely agree. Do not try to be a somm while you're trying to drink the wine. Just enjoy it, be in the moment. Maybe... if you're at home again, open the bottle up again, then kind of go through the tasting profile.
Yeah. But, I mean, I use it as kind of just a spoofy thing. Like, I think it's fun just to kind of pretend like I know what I'm talking about. But that's actually some good wine. We have another one to sample. I think there's a third one here.
Two
more here.
So this is the Gran Passione Rosso. It's another blend, Merlot and Crevigna. And it's a Passamento.
What was the second one? You said Merlot and what?
And Crevigna.
Crevigna. What's a Crevigna?
It's a unique varietal in Italy. Basically, it's only used in blending. And with this one, a Passamento means they harvest late, so it's like a raisiny, kind of sweet finish.
It's different.
Yeah. If you're new to red wine, this is a great wine to start drinking because it gets you into the door of it. And
yeah.
I think for girls especially, they're looking to get out of sweet wines. This is a way to kind of get your foot into trying more reds.
Yeah, so it's an entry-level red.
Entry-level, yeah. And it's $13, $12.99 a bottle.
It's a good price point.
Yeah.
I'm going to take one more sip of this because I'm trying to figure out the notes in here. It's a little different.
Yeah.
The raisiny part of it, is that just the ripeness of the grape? Or?
Yeah, they let it sit on the vine till end, probably early October. And so it becomes really raisiny and dried out. And then they dry it out and go through fermentation at that point. And it just produces this really raisiny flavor and vanilla and spice notes and dried fruits.
That's what I was, the vanillas. I'm getting a slight hint of the vanilla taste to it.
Yeah.
Food-wise, is there any pairings here that we should be, you know, working with when we're talking about these different wines?
I mean, some good hard cheese is usually good with really robust Italian wines.
Like
Parmesan. Parmesan, yeah. Grana Padano, anything like that.
Fontanella.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that would be good. Either, you know, pastas,
I'm
pizzas.
You guys are killing me over here. I've been juice fasting all day. This is kind of part of my juice fast, really.
Yeah, still juice.
Wine is a juice.
Yeah,
I mean,
fermented fruit juice.
And we have one more left. Is that what we have? Or are we good? We tapped them all? This is a great variety, guys, and the price points are so right on. We have a young, loving couple here in our studio. My niece Francesca and her boyfriend Rory joined us just purely for this Valentine's segment. Guys, what did you think of the wine?
It was
really good, yeah. And Rory, do you find yourself to be kind of a wine connoisseur, a wine snob?
No, not especially.
No, would you do the whole, not knowing that, would you do the whole sniffing and professional wine? Yeah, it's to her. Because that's because you're in love. That's a good thing.
Yeah, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Wine Cellars LTD. Any random chore you got,
well, I can do that. Do that. It's almost Valentine's Day here at the Frank Montana Show. We're getting our party started. We're talking to the guys from Wine Cellars and gals from Wine Cellars LTD. Just sampled some fantastic array of wines. And I'm falling in love with one. I have fallen in love with one. It's the Piazza del Costello, Rosso Toscana. Prodotto d'Italia, and I'm just showing off my Italian.
You sound wide awake now.
I am. There's caffeine in this wine, I think. I don't know.
And you're speaking Italian, Spanish. You sound...
a little bit of it all.
Parlo un po'.
Un poco, yes, sì. All right, let's shift gears here for a little bit. We do have our folks from Wine Cellars sticking with us because we're going to be talking about how we pair breakfast wines with, you know, the idea that it's actually hot breakfast month. And joining us on the phone is Vinay Watts from Minerva Dairy Farm. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. A little bit better since we opened up a couple bottle of wines in the studio. Wish you were here. It'd be great to have you in studio.
I do too, now that I know I could have been drinking wine.
Right? See? It pays to come in studio. So tell me about the dairy farm.
Well, we are a fifth generation dairy, and we make butter and cheese the same way we have done since 1894. So it's all healthy ingredients. We have farms that are small family farms, so we are very conscious about the quality of milk that comes from our healthy cows. And so,
let's talk about that for a second, because this is a huge topic right now. Everyone's all about the grass-fed milk, grass-fed butter. I know we are at our home. We go back and forth between should we be eating like vegan butter, should we just stick with grass-fed cow source butter? What's the benefits of eating grass-fed?
Well, there is some benefits. Our cows, we actually go with pasture-raised cows, is the term that we used.
What does that mean?
It means that our cows are out on pasture. They have the choice. If they want to go outside and walk around the pasture, they can. If it's raining and thundering and lightning and they don't want to go out, they're like, heck no, I'm not going out on that. They can stay in the barn. So they have the choice if they want to go in, out or not.
That's great. And either way, they're getting the same quality nutrition.
Right. They do get good quality nutrition. It's just a healthier, I guess, a better lifestyle for the cow. Rather than they can be grass-fed, but they could be in the barn their entire life. So this way, if you do pasture-raised cows, then you know that they have the choice and they are getting exercise. They're getting out. They're getting out in the elements and, when they want to. And not when they don't want to. If it's snowing on the ground, they're not going.
It's good that a cow has a choice. It's important that a cow has a choice. Yes. I mean, and what about this Amish roll butter? You say it's better. Why is it better?
It's 84% butter fat. So it is a higher butter fat than you normally find in your butters. Usually the regular butter is around 82, maybe 81. And the higher the butter fat, it's the creamier, the richer. It's all natural butter for you to have. So the butter fat is a better for you. A lot of times butter's coming back. Margarine's bad. Butter's
yeah, I was going to say.
Limelight is something to cook with.
You guys are loving this whole boom, I bet, of every, like a cover of Time magazine, recently, is fat is not bad for you anymore. For years, all these doctors who came out and said fat is killing people is no longer the case.
No, it was wonderful. Like, that came out. We're like, hey, we've been doing this for over 100 years. We're still here doing the same thing. So it was nice that people are starting to recognize what grandma used to make her butter on the farm is the true simple ingredients. And simple eating is actually better for you. And everyone's coming back around to that, to recognize that, hey, just the simple stuff.
Yeah, and diets like the paleo diet, a bulletproof diet, they're all promoting grass-fed butter as the new nature, bullet, so to speak, of health. And is there science behind this?
The science behind it, I guess, would just be that it's the butterfat. It's natural. There's just nothing but sea salt and the cream as the only ingredients in there. So I, when you look at simple foods and simple eating and, like, getting down to what really matters, it's like you don't eat a good bit, but not a ton of it, but a little bit of the natural stuff. And it's better for you than trying to cut out and have, oh, we're going to have no fat and no this and no that. Well, then you have to have a lot of, you know, things on the label that I can't even read in your ingredients. So I guess it's that's the science behind it. It's simple.
Well, I mean, in this bulletproof diet, I don't know if you ever heard of it. You ever heard of it?
I have. One where you put the butter in the coffee in the morning?
Yes. I actually did it for a while. My wine folks are looking at me like I'm crazy. It's the idea, instead of using milk, straight milk, you actually take – you guys ever try this? You take grass-fed butter.
I tried it. I had to. I heard about it. And you take your butter and you put it in the coffee and stir it up.
You melt it and you take you whisk it or kind of froth it up in there. It's actually pretty darn good. It's creamy because you think about it. You put heavy cream into your coffee anyway. This is like pure goodness, you know, and you get this kind of buttery note to it. Another great way to use Amish roll butter, I think, in my opinion.
Right. That's exactly the butter for that bulletproof coffee that they talk about, that you can put the butter in there. This would be the type of butter that you'd want. The Minerva Dairy Amish roll butter would be what you'd look for.
Now, how are you set, Vinay, for having wine with your buttery breakfast? Are you all about that too?
Well, heck yeah, I love wine.
So,
wine with breakfast sounds great.
So, guys, you see, we have this array of beautiful Amish butter here, Amish roll butter. What wine would you guys suggest if I'm putting together a beautiful breakfast that's featuring this amazing product?
We'd probably go with our Tiamo Prosecco. It's a light, sparkling Italian wine, and those bubbles will kind of help to cut through the fat of the butter, just give it some nice. Kind of accent the flavors of that. And our Tiamo Prosecco, it started by Mel Master, and his son Charlie now runs the brand, and they're also very interested in, you know, healthy products. So the Tiamo Prosecco is actually made from organic grapes as well. So
nice.
It's a healthy way to start your day.
Sounds like a nice little pairing there, don't you think, Vinay?
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah. I haven't actually had, I've had wine with breakfast, the Bellinis or sometimes the Scottos. Are great with breakfast, too, that I've had. But I like what she's saying. That sounds great.
And where can people buy Amish roll butter?
You can find the Amish roll butter at a lot of the local places around here. There's Heinen's. We're also in Fresh Market, Ingles Market, Whole Foods.
Oh,
things
nice.
Like that.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. Where are you guys based out of?
We're in Northeast Ohio.
So you're pretty local in the Midwest here. That's awesome.
Yes, we're right here. Where you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, Pinterest, like that. And then also if you go to our website, there's a Find Us. You can find local stores. Just put in your zip code.
And what's interesting is the display and the way you guys package your goods and the mixtures you come together. You have one here that's a natural maple syrup flavor butter. You have one that's, I saw here, is it a cinnamon honey flavor? That's pretty tasty.
Yep. Oh, that is great. There's a great recipe that we're doing for our slow cooker promotion with cinnamon rolls that I made. And you just put some of the cinnamon honey and the maple syrup butter in with that cinnamon rolls in your slow cooker you put in the night before. So I guess it's perfect. You want to wake up and have wine in the morning. You don't want to think about cooking a whole bunch. It's ready for you.
Yeah, I mean, would it be wrong if I just want to bite this cinnamon-flavored butter right now? Would it kill me?
No. I would suggest maybe you want to put it on a roll or something.
I might. We're short rolls in the studio right now. All I got is some wine. I could just anyway. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. What's the website people can find out more information about the products?
You go to MinervaDairy.com.
Minerva Dairy. It's MinervaDairy.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You got it. All right. And thank you guys, Wine Cellars LTD, for bringing all the fun festivities to the table here today. We appreciate that. And where can people find out more information about you guys?
You can check us out on our website, www.winecellarsltd.com, and find wines, information on the wineries, about us, videos, all the good stuff. Check us out there.